Our gospel today continues our readings from the Gospel of Mark. Last week we had the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus walking on water, and after that he returned and they started bringing sick and those that were ill and injured to him, and he was healing them. So our gospel picks up with Mark chapter 7, beginning with verse 1. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come down from Jerusalem gathered around him, they noticed that some of Jesus' disciples ate with defiled hands. That is, they didn't wash their hands. Now, the Pharisees and all the Jews did not eat anything without washing their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they did not eat anything from the marketplace without washing it first. And they observed many other traditions, the washing of cups and bowls and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes said to Jesus, "How is it that your disciples do not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And Jesus said to them, "The prophet Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is worthless. They teach human precepts as doctrines.'" Then he said to the Pharisees and the scribes, "You have abandoned the word, the commandments of God, and hold fast to human traditions." Then he called the crowd and said, "Listen and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but it is the things that come out that defile a person. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, and folly. All of these evil things come from within. It is what comes out that defiles." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated, and I'd like to invite the children forward for a little conversation. Good morning. Good morning to you, Trey. Oh, it's a long ways down here. It gets longer, it seems like, every week. I brought a toy. Oh, good. Here we go. When my boys, Matt and Paul, were growing up, they both loved cars and trucks and stuff. Any of y'all like cars and trucks? No? Yeah, you can take it or leave it. We had all kinds of Hot Wheels. I think we had a ton of Hot Wheels. And then we have a picture of Paul where there's a string of cars lined up. And it must have been like 100 cars. I don't know how we got so many Hot Wheels. But he lined them up. And they just loved to play with them. And so I just brought, this is something I found in Pastor Lara's office. She saw this a little while back and thought it was so cool. Isn't that fun? Yeah. Now, do you have favorite toys? What's your favorite toy? Lego. Oh, Legos are good. Is that yours too? Both of you? Wow. What do you like to play with? You brought lots of toys. What's one of the toys that you brought? You don't remember. Do you have a favorite toy? What? WWE collection. Now, here's another question. Is there a toy that you would love to have, but you don't? Can you think of some? What's a toy you'd love to have, but you don't? Oh, you like to have a particular Call of Duty video game. Yeah, you may have to wait a little while for that one. Yeah.
I have
two. Oh, yeah, two.
Oh, you already have it.
Well, that's cool. But imagine this. Imagine there's a toy that you really, 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 really want, and you don't have it. But your best friend does. Now, would it be okay when he wasn't looking to take his toy? It wouldn't. What if you came up with a plan where you would accuse him of saying that toy was actually yours and that he stole it from you, and then trying to get him to get his parents to give it to you? Would that be right? Yeah.
But I got Charmaine toys.
Awesome. Yeah, so there will be things that you want, and yeah, it is not right to try to take them from other people and to especially steal or to tell lies about it. Because how would your best friend feel if you took his favorite toy? Would it make him happy? I don't think so. Do you like him if somebody steals your toys? No. And so that's kind of what I'm going to be talking about, is how there's some things that sometimes we really, really want them. And when we get focused on what we want, very often what we do is we hurt people close to us, we hurt others. Because when we're doing that, we're not loving our neighbor. So that's what I'm going to be talking about. You can go back to your seats. Later on, I'll call you back up at the end of the service, and we're going to go to blast, all right? Thanks for coming up. Anybody want to play with this one? Would you like to play with it? You can take it back to your seat? Okay. Oh, now I got to get back up. Here, we'll put it up here so everybody can see it. It is a cool little toy. Grace and peace be to you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. In today's gospel, Jesus is having a conversation with the Pharisees and some scribes about this whole purity, cleansing, defiling kind of thing. Those of you that have looked at the Old Testament or even read the New Testament enough, know that a big part of what the Jews were called to do as a people were to keep themselves clean. And they had all these purity laws. And as I was pondering these, and especially the assertion by Jesus that there's nothing from the outside that can, when you take it in, by taking it in, it defiles you, I started playing around with the idea of this purity thing sort of being like sterilization and kind of what we do to keep ourselves from picking up germs and viruses and bacteria. And so let's just play with it a little bit. Imagine, or actually those of you that want to play a little bit at a younger age, it can be like cooties. You have cooties here in Canada, right? I know you have women and girls. But cooties are something that girls have. At least when I was much younger, I thought that. But both those, either cooties or viruses or bacteria, how do you get them? You get them by touching someone who has them. And so once you touch them, then you're infected. You have some of that cootiness, some of those diseases, some of that infection on you. Now, if you're healthy, very often it fends it off. But if you think about, let's imagine that you got yourself perfectly sterilized, where there weren't any bacteria, no viruses, nothing on your skin. As soon as you touch something that had that on there, then you, in a sense, you would be infected, or at least have the possibility of being infected. And so as I thought about this, and it kind of works, but then it bumps up against what Jesus said. Because if you take an infection, like if you swallow something that has a virus or something like that, and it gets inside you, it does infect you. And so if that's the case, then you would be defiled by eating, by breathing in something that somebody coughed on you, etc. So where do we go with that? And I finally had to acknowledge that that analogy breaks down. It doesn't help me understand what Jesus is trying to say, because that is very much, well, it is very much the mindset of what the Jews were living, the tradition that they had received from God through the scriptures that had passed on through their traditions. They perceived impurity, uncleanliness, as something that was contagious like that. So if you touched a woman who was impure, if you touched a non-Jew, then it was like you were infected. And if you ate pork or some other unclean meat, then that made you impure. So to understand what Jesus was talking about, I had to go to a more spiritual level. And he talks about how it's evil intentions that come from within, that come from the heart, that that is what defiles us. And so what came to mind for me is this little trinket. There's no way you can see it. This is something I got in the mail, I think it was a month or two ago, and actually got it from Shell, I think, because it has Shell V-Power Nitro on it, and it has a little gasoline Shell thing there, and it has a cool little race car, like a Grand Prix little race car. And so it's just a little thing they get, they send, I think, advertising their new Nitro or whatever, their premium gas. And so I got it, it was addressed to me, I stuck it right there on my nightstand, and it stayed there. Well, my wife was kind of going through and kind of cleaning stuff up, and she picked this thing up, she goes, "What is this?" And I said, "Oh, it's something I got in the mail." "Well, can I get rid of it?" "No." She goes, "Really?" It's like, "No, I want that." And so, I mean, and I smile at myself, because what is it about this that makes me want it? And I realized that my whole life, I've liked these little engraved kind of things. When I was back, when I was living in Texas to go snow skiing, we had to drive to New Mexico or Colorado. So every time I went to a different resort, I'd buy one of those little pins. And I had a ski vest or whatever that had all the little pins where I'd been. And I loved little, there were medals I got running track and field or little awards I got in school. And I loved it when they had a medallion in there and it was all engraved. And so as I pondered this, it's like, oh, okay, there's something about this that I desire. And I think what's underneath it is that these things, they look kind of official, I think. That, you know, and so in some sense, if I have something like that, it almost like validates me or somehow makes me important, something like that. I'm still trying to get completely at the bottom. But whatever that is that's in my heart that desires it is what had me hang on to this, and that's what I'm talking about this morning. And there's, I think we all have something like this. Now, it may not be a little trinket. It may be quite big. Some of you may not be able to say no to a car that you really, really want, or a new play toy, or that house, or that new appliance. Or it may be something a lot less tangible. It may be the feeling of security. Maybe it's being famous, being needed. We all have something that it may not operate at a very unconscious level, but it's a sense of if we had that, life would be good. If we had that, we'd be complete. If we had that, then we would feel just fine. We all have something like that. And it's something that probably early on in your life, something happened. You know, and you were probably 3 or 4 or 5, and all of a sudden it seemed like something was wrong. And you told yourself that no matter what, I need to have this, or else life will not be okay. So apparently I need to feel important, or feel needed, or feel somehow that I have the stamp of approval or something. But whatever that is that dwells in your heart, or those things, and can be more than one, those are the things that drive us then, or can drive us to do some pretty sinful, even evil things. Like if I didn't have this thing under control, I could have a house full of these. Seriously. And I mean, there are people that have houses full of things. They're not even sure why they have to have them. But somehow the having of them seems to promise to them that they're going to be okay. But what happens is, after I get the next one, I mean, this one's nice, but if they send me another one, I've got to have that, right? It never actually fills that hole. It's all there's a Native American proverb or story about a father telling his son that he has two wolves within him, an evil wolf and a good wolf, and they're constantly struggling against each other. And the boy asks, "Well, Dad, which wolf is going to win?" And the father says, "The one that you feed. The one that you feed." And so whatever it is that you happen to have in your heart that drives you, that wants to promise you that if you just listen to it, then you will have a good life. And if that is not the Holy Spirit in God, then what happens is, if you feed that, that will consume you. If I give in to my impulse to collect these things, then it can consume my life. And I'll sacrifice relationships, I'll sacrifice jobs, I'll sacrifice everything because I think that this will fill my life. This, I think, is what Jesus is talking about. Those evil intentions, they come from inside. Even though it may be stuff outside, when we give into that, when we honor that intention, allow it to drive us, then we start doing things like stealing and lying, envious, wickedness, greed, slander, all of that kind of stuff, because we're trying to fill that hole that is within us to feed that evil wolf. Sounds kind of depressing, doesn't it? But the good news is that is not the only thing that's within us. Native Americans call it a good wolf. We call it the Holy Spirit. There's a Holy Spirit within you that is nurtured when you read the Word, that is speaking to you and calling to you and says, if you will listen to me, I will give you life. And that Spirit is the one that actually can give you life. Is confirmed by Jesus Christ. It is the power of the resurrection. It is that Spirit and that impulse that if we nourish that and feed it with study of the Word, by coming to and worshiping, by being about acts of service to others, then we strengthen and we listen and we become, as James says, doers of the Word. And we're able to notice that we have these things that want to drive us. But we can say, no thanks. We can say, I choose to follow God's commandments, to trust the promise of Jesus, to do those things that bring honor to God, that provide love for neighbors, for wives, for husbands, for children, for strangers. This is Jesus' call to us. This is Jesus' promise to us. If we will develop that muscle and listen to that Spirit and feed it, then yes, we will have the life eternal here on earth. Because when you're about those things, you're about prayer and worship, love and service. Your life becomes filled with joy and hope and faith, and you gain your life. I wish I could tell you that you'll get to a point where you never have to contend with those evil intentions in your heart. They'll always be there. There will always be opportunities to fall back. That is why it takes diligence. It takes the desire, the habits of constantly bringing yourself to worship, tithing, giving, praying, studying, in order to stay on that path. And when you fall back, and you will, it may be a little thing, it may be a big one. Know that in a moment, forgiveness is there, that you can stop feeding that other wolf, and you can once again become a doer of the word, allow Holy Spirit to work through you. Jesus said there's nothing outside of a person that by bringing it in will defile them, but it is what comes out that defiles. So also what comes out when we do the word of God and follow God's commandments, especially loving one another, then that also is what brings honor to God and has us be about the holy work that God has called us to. Amen.